Welcome, everybody. Today we have Patrick Hickey Jr., and many of you know him already as the publisher of ReviewFix.com. He's here with us today to talk about his upcoming book, soon to be released, The Minds Behind the Games, Interviews with Cult and Classic Video Game Developers. Welcome, Patrick.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. So tell me about your book upcoming. I want to hear about all the news.
So it's essentially a compilation of interviews with video game developers spanning the Atari 2600 to the PlayStation 4. It's very different from, say, your average video game book that is basically research-based. And I basically went around for 8 months and tried to get a hold of as many cool video game developers as I possibly could. So there's Colt. Video game devs in there, like from Night Trap and Wonder Boy and Monster Land and things like that, and classic video games, Doom, NBA Jam, Mortal Kombat, Mutant League Football, and even indie games, To the Moon, Squids, Pro Wrestling X. So it's 36 chapters. Each chapter focuses on a different game, and I've gotten developers, I've gotten producers, I've gotten all sorts of people that worked with those games to give you the behind-the-scenes story of what makes that game so unique and so special.
Wow, sounds very extensive. What would you say makes your book stand apart? It seems like you've done a lot of research for this book. In your opinion, what makes your book great?
Again, like I said, a lot of video game books that are out now are more like reference guides. It's kind of like you'll see a lot of books where it's like the entire, library of the system, and they break down each game in a paragraph or so, or they're list-based and things like that, or they take us through a particular moment in time. And I think the cool thing about this book is, again, it's interview-based, so you're hearing all of these facts and all of this information straight from the people who lived it. And also, it's not confined to one system. So there are systems that are mentioned in this book that don't exist anymore, like the Ouya and the Hasbro system that Night Trap was mentioned on, that Night Trap was originally supposed to be released on, that doesn't exist anymore. So it's like from the Atari 2600 to today. So if you're in your late 20s and you're or your early 30s and you grew up playing video games your entire life, you're going to know all of these games. Some of them are great. Some of them aren't so great. So that's the cool thing. It's not just the best games you've ever played. And every single one of these chapters has interesting stories, things that if you want to become a developer, this is definitely a book that you have to read to find out about all the hiccups and all the falls and the rises of game development and what these guys had to go through in order to make these games that people still play today.
Oh, wow. So it gives a lot of guidance and background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very exciting. Looking forward to picking it up and checking it out.
Great.
When is the book coming out?
It's supposed to come out the first quarter of 2018. So McFarland Publishing, they're my publisher. They've been hard at work at it. I've given them the manuscript in May. So they're hard at work now. The cover has been designed. I've been speaking at a host of retro video game expos and cons and things like that in order to promote it. So yeah, I'm on the promotional tour now, and we're just waiting for it to hit shelves.
Nice. So what was your most memorable moment while writing and researching the book, if you have one to pick?
There's so many. Like, it's crazy because every single one of these people I feel like I connected with in one way or another. But, like, one really cool moment was about 3 days before my manuscript was due. I had about 2,500 words left in the book, and the guy that did the developer that made Doom on the Game Boy Advance, which is it's the best handheld first person shooter you could ever play. It's like it's a great port of the original Doom. He is currently going through cancer treatment, and he kind of completely disappeared off the face of the earth. He was supposed to do the book with me, and he was supposed to answer questions, and now I'm like 3-4 days before the book is supposed to go to print, and I emailed him, and I'm like, listen, I have like 2,500 words left in this book. they're yours if you want them. And I'm like, I only have a couple of days left. So if you want to send me answers, that would be great. If not, I completely understand because I have a mom that's fighting stage 4 lung cancer. So it's like, I kind of know like what he was going through from, you know, an empathetic, you know, point of view. So the next day he answered me back with the questions, and basically 5-6 hours before I was getting ready to send the manuscript in, I was plugging away on that chapter. And it turned out to be like one of the strongest chapters in the entire book, because a lot of people don't know, but the Game Boy Advance version of Doom is actually running on like a modified like ROM of the Atari Jaguar version. So the game, yeah, it's pretty wild. The game was 90% finished when the company, the ID, and all the people that are responsible for the game, like, no, you know what? John Carmack found the ROM for the Atari Jaguar in his attic, so why don't you use that as the base for the game? So they had to start development all over again. So it's one of the best chapters in the book.
Sounds pretty cool. Do you have any more books planned for the future?
Yeah, I'm actually, I started about a month ago a book that chronicles the emotional and physical ramifications of a lifetime in professional wrestling. Like, what is it like emotionally to be a professional wrestler? What is it like physically? What is it like after you retire? What is it like to wrestle in the indies and things like that? And I have a host of interviews already, at probably about anywhere from 15 to 20 that I've already done. So I'm putting the pieces together on that. It's going to be very similar to this book, but instead of telling the story of how a video game is made, it's basically telling the story about how a wrestler is made and how they live after wrestling, how they live before wrestling, the whole gamut of emotions and physicality that are involved.
Seems like you're developing your own signature style.
I'm trying.
Exciting stuff. I hear that you're working with the Padre game, which is actually launching on Halloween on Kickstarter. You're the voice of the main character. What was that like? And what was your entire experience working on that project?
Well, I wouldn't say like, I wouldn't use the past tense because I feel like it's still, like I'm still working with them every day. I talk to these guys every day. It's been such a blast to work with them. I've always wanted to get into voice acting. I've always wanted to get into the video game industry, but I mean, being a video game journalist for like the past 12 years, it's a risk. It's like, you don't want to get involved in something that fails, and you don't want to ever be seen as somebody that lacks credibility. And especially after like I wrote this book. So I had to really take a project that I was really 100% behind. So, when I originally saw the game on Twitter, and I saw a GIF or a GIF, whatever you want to call it, of a tree attacking the Padre. And it looked like something out of The Wizard of Oz. Like the tree just came alive and hit the Padre. And I'm like, this game looks really cool. So I emailed them. I sent them a pitch. I'm like, I'd love to interview you for the site. We did it. Went great. Then they asked me if I wanted to play the Alpha. And then playing the Alpha, I noticed that it could be the dialogue in the story could have been tightened up a bit, just because it's not that it's not good. It's great. It's a great story. It's probably one of the best things in the game, but these guys are originally from Hungary. So I'm an English professor and a journalism professor. So who better than to tighten the story and to kind of help them develop that Lovecraftian, you know, tone that they're going for. So I offered my services, and we reached an agreement. So then I started talking to these guys like every day, and it was like a bromance. They're 6 hours ahead of us. So when I'm just waking up in the morning, they're at lunch. And then when I'm at lunch, they're heading home. And then when I get home, they're going to sleep. So we always have time to talk. And we got to the point where they had messaged me, and they're like, yeah, we need another voice actor. Do you guys know anybody? We're going to start asking around. And I'm like, I can totally do a voice for you guys. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you need something dark with some bass in it. And they're like, okay, so send us something. So then I kind of do a movie trailer voice where it's like, in the city, one man, he sold tortillas. You know, like rated PG-13. So I'm like, the old voice actor was British. So I'm like, I have to add a British, like, twang to it. So it'd be like, hello, I'm the Padre. I am a demon hunter. You know, just a little bit of that to that dark, bassy voice. And I sent it to them, and they loved it. So then it just went from, okay, I was happy just being the story editor. I was completely fine with that. You know, it was like a dream come true. I'm helping these guys make a game. This is fantastic. to something completely different. It's just been so, like, so crazy, so fun.
Wow. I could see you going to Hollywood. I'm not even joking. I hope that happens for you.
It would be great. It would be great. As of right now, I'm super happy with the way things are going. And then I've worked with independent video game developers, like I said, for over a decade. And when the trailer came out, I started spreading it, you know, across Twitter and Facebook and stuff. And one of my buddies, Dave Wisnowski, who's working on Pro Wrestling X, he told me he wanted to do a story mode and for that game. And he wanted me to be the voice of, like, the wrestling promoter. So I'm working on, like, kind of like a grizzled old Italian voice for him now. And they want me to read for that when it comes out. So, like, right now what I'm doing is I'm reading it, you know, and I'm saying to myself, I could play this character a little bit, you know. So it's been so much fun just to go from a video game geek turned journalist into, like, something completely different. It's been so much fun.
You should feel that. Yeah, you pretty much, you should have ongoing work on the side. So what stage is the game in now? And when do they plan on releasing the game? And how's their Kickstarter plans going?
So the game, I would say, is roughly 50% done. I've beaten the alpha about 20 times, and I still find new spaces and new bugs and things like that. So I'm like, I'm kind of testing the game, too, at the same time. But that's been so much fun. I would say the game's about 50% done. Right now, I'm pretty sure they're aiming for release in April of 2018. The Kickstarter is going incredibly well. Like, I'm helping them edit the Kickstarter. We want it to be absolutely perfect. It's been incredibly hectic. Everyone on the team is working nonstop around the clock. Just the Discord. Like, if you go on the Discord, someone's always on there chatting and talking, and we're working very closely with streamers and stuff. I'm doing a trailer. A streamer decided that he wanted to do, like, a Kickstarter trailer for us, like, on his page, which I thought was really nice. And he was like, it would be even better if you narrated the trailer in the Padre voice. And I'm like, I can absolutely do that. That is no problem at all. I can absolutely do that for you. So, you know, another streamer wrote a poem about the game for us, and it's like, these people are so talented and they love the game so far. So it's pretty wild. The Kickstarter, we're super excited about what could happen here. We haven't got one negative review from anybody on YouTube yet. Everyone likes the game. It's still very much a work in progress. It's halfway through, but it's super exciting to see this thing coming to fruition.
Sounds like a really niche but strong community is starting to grow behind it. I know that voxel games are pretty popular, and it's really cool. This is kind of like Devil Needs Cry and Minecraft in one, and with a unique, fantastically unique story. And, of course, who doesn't like horror?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the cool thing, too, is, like, there's so many alludes to other things. So probably the two main influences for this game are Alone in the Dark and Maniac Mansion. So it's like you add those two things to the mix, and then we make references to, like, Luke Cage. There's a line in the game early in the beginning where there's a zombie lady, and I try and give her, like, a wooden baby, and I say Jesus Christmas. So it's like we're referencing Luke Cage. There's references to, like, Ghostbusters. There's references to, like, so many different cool pop culture things in the game as well. So
that's for experience and playability, it sounds like it's going to be the perfect, you know, spooky or Halloween game to play in the mix or something like that, especially for
Sure.
So I noticed also that there's a growing popularity of retro era games. I want your opinion on that. What do you think of that trend? Do you see these types of games increasing in popularity in the coming months and years?
Absolutely. I think, like, the NES Classic and the SNES Classic kind of reintroduced these games to people that were too young to really experience them the first time. And some of these games are made so well. They still they stood the test of time. The gameplay is ironclad. And I feel like a lot of AAA companies try and cover a lot of their gameplay problems with prettier graphics and great soundtracks and things like that. So you can't do that in a retro game. If a retro game is bad, you know it's bad right away. There's not a lot of covering up going on. So I think people want to just – they want to play games that are couch co-op friendly, that are easy to jump in and out, or a game that if you're playing one player that you can play and be immersed in the experience, but then, like, jump out whenever you want to. And I think that's probably the thing that the Padre has in droves. Like, I play that game on my breaks for 5 or 6 minutes, and then, you know, if my wife falls asleep, I'll play it for, like, an hour before I go to bed. It's perfect for – you know, those old-school gamers that want to be able to get their fix really quickly or at the same time want to play for an hour or two.
Nice.
So retro games have that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We can kind of spice it up. So any exciting news and updates regarding the game, your career, your books, anything else you'd want to share with us?
Like I said, the next book is what I'm working on right now. It's so much fun. Like, I love professional wrestling. I love video games and stuff, so the fact that I got the video game book out of the way, and I'd love to do a sequel if it sells well. But the second book is coming along great. It's a lot of fun. I'm also writing for Old School Gamer magazine. So I'm doing a lot of stuff for them on the side. That's a lot of fun. I'm trying to think. I'm actually the wrestling promotion that's helping me a lot with my sources for the book. I'm actually helping them behind the scenes. I'm helping some of their workers, like, develop new finishing moves and, like, helping them book matches and all sorts of cool stuff. Their next show is this weekend on November 4th in New Jersey. So I'm going to the shows. I'm sitting next to the commentary team. So it's like I'm, like, one of the boys in a way. It's so, like, on my Facebook page, I have that tagline, like, you can write in whatever you want. And it says, I'm living a life I never thought existed. And I feel like that's exactly what I'm doing. A lot of people post stuff on social media and they try and create an image and create a brand that might not necessarily be who they actually are. And I feel like the last couple of months, the last year or so, I've become exactly like what I always wanted to be. So just writing for magazines, doing voiceovers, writing books, teaching, all the being a dad, being a husband, all of those things all pushed together. Like, I couldn't be happier with the way things are going right now.
So contentness and self-actualization is happening for you, which I think is what we all aspire to. So really, it's a huge thing.
Absolutely. And still hungry for more. You know, I'm hungry for more opportunities. So that's the thing too. I'll never settle for anything. You know, like, I always want to have more in my life.
I think the challenge is what drives us all. Mm-hmm. So where can fans follow the Padre? And of course, important, where can they follow you?
Okay, so for me, you can follow me on Instagram, Patrick Hickey Jr., all one word, PatrickHickeyJr. At Instagram, I post pictures of my animals, all the games I'm working on and stuff like that. That's a lot of fun. Twitter is a review fix, so I post all the articles from the site, and I comment on various things that are going on. So if you guys need more information on me, that those are the places. For the book, if you go on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you just search The Minds Behind the Games. It comes up right away. The book is available for pre-order. And for the Padre, if you want to find out more about the Padre, you just go to thepadregame.com.
Wow. That's a treat.
No problem.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I know that you're a busy professor as well, and I know that you took the time out today to meet with us. If there's anything else you'd like to share with us in the future, please do contact us, and we'll get you on the show again.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. Actually, I have class in 6 minutes. So.
Oh, well, so let's run. Thanks again.
No problem. Thank you
Thanks
very much.
Patrick.
You're welcome. Bye.